he may have all of you. This morning we're going to talk about love like Christ. Love like Christ. John chapter number 15, verse number 12, love like Christ. Love like Christ. And if we're going to love like Christ, we're going to have to see how Christ loved. If you have a copy of God's Word this morning, John chapter number 15 and verse number 12, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. And the Bible says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We bow this morning under the presence of the Holy Ghost. We bow this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father God, we ask you to do something this morning that we cannot do. And that is to teach us to love like you do. Lord God, it's not in us to love. But Lord God, when we are born again, you put that love inside of us. And Lord, I pray this morning that you would lead us this morning through these scriptures this morning. You would open our eyes, you would open our mind, you would open our heart this morning to how you love people. And Lord God, as we're rocking on Thanksgiving, it's getting close. Lord God, I pray that when we go to these families' homes and we go to our immediate family, that we can show the love that you've showed us. Father God, I love you. Father, I thank you. I ask you this morning to guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Let it be not about me, but let it be all about you. Lord God, this morning, if they be a lost individual in the house this morning, they've walked down the aisle and took a preacher's hand. Lord, they've been through the baptismal waters and their name's on the church roll, but they don't have your love in their heart this morning. I pray this morning they'd find you before it's eternally too late. And Lord God, as we look into these scriptures this morning, your word says this is a commandment that I give you. Father, I love you, and Father, I thank you. I ask it all in Jesus Christ's most holy, precious name. All of God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Love like Christ. This morning as we come in, I want to look into the text this morning and show you what I've been studying this week and what God has laid on my heart this week to love like Christ would love this morning. This morning as we look at here, Jesus gave his disciples, he was walking with the 12 right here, and he gave his disciples a command to love like he loves. Brothers and sisters, this morning we must love like Christ. But to love like Christ, we must know how Christ loved. You know, he loved individuals. He loved everybody that he come in contact with. He didn't love this group and didn't love that group. He didn't love this man and not that man, but he loved all men. And he says this morning as we read in the text in verse number 12. He says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another." Number one, this morning we must love like Christ because Christ had concern for others. He was concerned for you and I in his life. He was concerned for others along a life's highway. We must never get to the place where we're not concerned for the next brother or the next sister. As we read in the text this morning, he says, have love one for another, a concern for another. And I want to show you this morning, and I just want to talk with you on who he had concern for. Hey, he had concern about the sinner. We know in Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 8, the Bible says, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, hey, not a saint and not none of them things, but God commended his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Friends, this morning we must never get to the point where we don't have concern for the next man or the next woman that we see hurting along life's highway. He said that he was concerned about the sinner. Hey, but he was concerned about the saint. In 3 John verse number 4, the Bible says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. This morning, not only does God, Jesus Christ and God Almighty, he has concerned about the sinner. Hey, but he has concerned about the saint this morning. Friends, I want you to get this morning in the Word of God. He said that he was concerned about one another. Hey, you'll never run around with somebody very long if you don't think they're concerned about you. I don't know about you this morning, but I like being around people, hey, that are concerned about me. Hey, when they see me going down life's highway and I'm going the wrong way, they tell me, hey, I want you to turn around so you don't drown. Hey, when I'm going down that road and I need a friend, I want you to know I don't need a yes man. I need a man that's going to tell me the truth. He's going to tell me what I need in my life. And the Bible says that I want you to love one another. He said, I want you to have concern for the brethren. And he says in the Word of God, he had concern about the sinner. He had concern about the saint. But if you'll look with me to Matthew chapter number 14 and verse number 30 this morning, he had concern about the ones that were sinking along life's highway. This morning you may have come in and you may say, I'm no longer a sinner. I've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, preacher. I consider myself a saint. Hey, and that's all good and that's all fine. But I would ask you a question this morning. Hey, since you've been born again and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, had they come a point in your life, hey, you started sinking a little bit. You just ain't where you used to be. You just ain't walking like you used to be. Hey, can I say to you this morning, God's concerned about you too. He's not only concerned about the sinner. He's not only concerned about the saint, but he's concerned about that one that's sinking this morning. Look what the Bible says in Matthew chapter number 14 and verse number 30. We're talking about Peter this morning. He said, but when he saw the wind boisterous, oh, Peter said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come. It was almost like he was trying to trick the Lord. He said, Lord God, if it be you, let me get out of this boat that I'm in, hey, and walk on this water. Friends, I want you to know, you know what Jesus said? He said, just come on. Hey, it's me this morning. Maybe this morning that you're lost and you need to be saved. God's concerned about you. Maybe this morning you're saved and you feel like you're sinking and you can't find a way out. He's saying, come to me this morning. He's wanting everybody to come this morning because he's concerned about you and he's concerned about me this morning. Amen. But he says in the Word of God, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him up and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? He says this morning, if you're sinking this morning, he said, he's that arm that you need this morning. He said, he'll reach down and he'll save you this morning. He'll pull you out of them winds of life. He'll pull you out of them things in your life when it gets boisterous and it gets like nothing is going right. Friends, this morning, even a saved man can get on that path where he thinks things ain't going right. Hey, can I say to you something this morning? If Jesus Christ is your Lord this morning, you're not sinking. Hey, can I give you something this morning? You're on the way out. Hey, you're on the way up. Hey, you don't have to worry about the boat because you got the master that's on your side. Amen. He says this morning he's concerned about the sinner. He's concerned about the same. He's concerned about the ones that are sinking this morning. As I thought about that sinking this morning, I thought about what the old hymn writer said. Love lifted me. He said, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. He said, love lifted me. This morning, If you're going to be lifted up from where you're at, and I'm going to be lifted up from where I'm at, we're going to have people in our life to love us like Jesus. Amen? And be concerned in our life this morning. He said in the text here, he said, love one another. But I want to give you something else. You say, preacher, do you know who I'm supposed to love? Hey, if you knew the individual that's in my life this morning, it's hard to love him or it's hard to love her. Hey, friends, Jesus died for us while we were sinners. Hey, he loved us in that state. And we must love each other in that state. Amen. He says this morning he had concern for others. But look at this morning. Not only did he have concern, but he had compassion for others. Boy, that right there will speak, won't it? He had concern for others, but he also had compassion for others. I want you to get this morning in the text. He says in John chapter number 15 and verse number 12, this is my commandment that ye love one another. And here's the compassion. As I have loved you. He said, it's one thing to be concerned, but it's something else to show compassion. You see, Jesus Christ, he was concerned about us, and then he showed us compassion. He said, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. Have you ever thought about what great love he's loved you with this morning? How much compassion he showed you this morning? Let me show you in the Word of God here. He says, as I loved you. In Matthew chapter number 9 and verse number 36, the Bible says that when he saw the multitude, and Jesus looked out and he saw the multitude, and he was moved with compassion because they were as sheep that was going astray. Look what the Bible says. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Friends, this morning, I want you to get this morning. Not only is he concerned about you, but he has compassion for you this morning. Not only does he have compassion that moved him this morning in Matthew chapter number 9 and verse number 36, but in John 15 and verse number 13, he had compassion and it marked him in his life. Have you ever heard somebody say, I tell you what, that individual has got compassion? Okay. Have you ever said, boy, he's got compassion? Or have you ever heard somebody say, they ain't got no compassion? This morning as I was sitting in my study at Ding, and it said today at Hamilton Walmart, they'll be receiving blood, needing all the blood they can get. They're in a bad need, and they need blood. And I told Brandy, I said, we get out of church. That's what I always do. I love to give blood. I love to help the next man. I don't know. I don't know what good it would do me to keep blood that I don't need. So I'll just give it on to the next man. You know, that's what we do in our Christian life. Hey, what we receive of Jesus Christ, being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, we don't hold that in. We share it with the next man. But I'm talking about compassion this morning. As I go get in that van after church this morning, I don't want to go in there to some nurse that don't have compassion. I don't want to go in there and somebody say, just get on up here and lay down. Throw me your arm up here. Let me see it. And then start slapping that thing like that. Oh, no. Hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to back up. I'm going to say, wait a minute. Do you not got somebody else that can show me a little compassion? But I like that one that goes in and says, hon, are you okay? Hon, are you comfortable? Hon, are you right where you need? Are you okay? And then she says it's going to be a big stick, but it's going to be okay. Folks, this morning, if I can give you anything on the Word of God this morning, he is concerned about you and he has compassion for you this morning. I don't know what you'll go through in the morning, but I know this, he's concerned about you. He'll be right beside you in the morning no matter what you have to face. This evening, he's concerned about you. He'll be right there no matter what big a mess you get in, no matter how big of a mess up you are. He's right there with you. He is a father that stands or closer than a brother this morning. He says this morning he has concern for you and he has compassion for you. When things go bad and people leave you, God does not leave. He stays right there. Amen? He says he has concern and he has compassion. He has compassion that moves him. He has compassion that marks him. Look in John 15 and verse number 13, the passion that marks him. He says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. He said, no greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And on in the book, he says, you are my friend if you do what I command you. Friends, this morning in the Word of God, the compassion moved him, the compassion marked him, but the compassion was what motivated him to the cross of Calvary. This morning, you know what hung him on the old rugged cross? You know what hung him on the cross? It was not only your sin this morning, but it was the love that he had for you and I this morning. He had that love for you and he had that love for me. And in 1 John chapter number 4, verse number 11, the Bible says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. He said, beloved, the ones that are born again, if God so loved me, Should we not love one another? As we're talking this morning about love like Christ and what God will do in your life and how He is concerned about you and how He has compassion about you. I watched an interview and I watched it on YouTube, and it was Ruth Graham. And Ruth Graham, that's Billy Graham's daughter, and she spoke at his funeral, said she had been married for 21 years. And for 21 years, she had been married to the love of her life. And on the 21st year, it come to that place that they had got a divorce. And she said that her life was drug right out from underneath her. And instead of turning to God and what God had called her to do, you know what Ruth did? She went wayward. And she went the other way. She went against everything she had been taught and everything that the Word of God said, and said that her daddy called her from Tokyo, Billy Graham, and said, "Hun, please just take it slow. Don't get involved with this man. Please take it slow." Said her mama called her from North Carolina and said, "I believe you're moving way too fast. Please take it slow." Said she got into a church and the pastor introduced her to a man in the church that wasn't married. And it wasn't long after that, and very soon, I mean very quick, on New Year's Day, they got married. And they got married. And she said within 24 hours, she knew that she had married the wrong man. In 24 hours, she knew that she had married the wrong man. She told this story at Billy Graham's funeral, and she said she knew that she had married the wrong man. And she said it didn't last very many days, about 4 or 5 days, and she had got a divorce. She said, "This is not going to work." And she said, "You know what? As a child, you never let your parents down." And she said, "You especially don't let Billy Graham down." And she said, "Lord God, who am I going to turn to? Lord God, who am I going to turn to?" But she said she knew all her life. She heard her daddy preach that he was concerned about her and that he would show her compassion. And she said she had nowhere to go, and they lived in North Carolina in them hills. And she said she'd just go to the cove where her daddy and mama was. And said that she got going on them old curvy roads, and curvy as they was, going to where her daddy and mama lived. Said when they knew she was coming, and her mom knew. And said when she pulled up there to their house, and she got within seeing distance of the house, there stood her daddy, Billy Graham, like this, just standing out there, arms wide open, just standing there waiting on her. And when she got out of the car, you know what? He didn't say, "I told you so." He didn't say, "You're a failure." He didn't say, "You're a mess up." He didn't say none of them things. You know what she said, and the testimony she gave about her father was this: that he wrapped her up in his loving arms and just loved her and embraced her right there. Can I say to you this morning, that's the same thing God Almighty does this morning to a child of God this morning. He doesn't beat you. He doesn't hate you. He doesn't do them things. He is concerned about you, and he has compassion toward you this morning. She made a statement of this right here. She said, "My daddy is not God. Billy Graham is not God. Billy Graham is not Jesus, but he showed me what Jesus looked like that day with his arms wide open." Folks, this morning, can I give you this? When Jesus Christ, he said, "Greater love hath no man than this, but then a man laid down his life for his friends." This morning, I don't know what's going on in your life, and you don't know what's going on in my life, but you remember this: when you was going on a spiral, when you was going downhill, hey, you had to look to the cross to be saved. Hey, this morning, if you're sinking this morning, hey, just look to that cross. If you need hope and you need peace and you need rest, the only place you'll ever find it in your life is in the cross of Calvary and the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. He says this morning that he is concerned about you and he has compassion for you this morning. He said not only is he concerned, but he has compassion this morning for you. But let me give you the third thing this morning. Not only is he concerned and he has compassion, but you know what, Jesus, if we're going to love like Jesus, we must be concerned about the next man. Amen? We must be concerned about the next individual. And we must have compassion for the next individual. I see a lot of folks concerned in the world we live in. I see a lot of folks that have compassion in the world we live in. But there's something Jesus had that the church must have. And that's conviction for other people. It's one thing to be concerned, and it's one thing to be compassionate. You don't have to tell a man they're messing up. When they're messing up, they know they're messing up. Can I get a witness? Okay, a lot of good. Amen, there we go. Amen. You don't have to tell a man when he's messing up. You don't have to tell a man when he's going the wrong way. You don't have to tell him that. What's going to win him back, preacher? The same thing that wins him back every time. Love. The same thing, love. There's one thing to be concerned about somebody, and there's one thing to have compassion But it's totally different to have conviction. They said that Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great preacher that he was, said that he got under so deep conviction about an individual in his life that when his wife walked in, the only thing that was between him and the floor was a tissue where his nose was so he wouldn't inhale the dust from the floor that he was laying on. He said he had such conviction for that individual that he wanted him to be saved that he would lay on the floor, cry at night, and ask God to save that individual. I would ask you a question this morning. When was the last time you was under conviction for somebody so bad that they may come to know Christ that you found yourself laid flat down on the floor asking God to save that individual? This morning he said not only the concern and the compassion but the conviction. You know what conviction will do to you? It'll move you. It'll move you. You get convicted about something, it'll move you. It'll change everything about you. It'll change the way you walk. It'll change the way you talk. And by the way, somebody's watching you. On a daily basis that you walk, somebody's watching you. They're watching your concern, what you're concerned about each and every day of your life. They're watching how much compassion that you have in your life. But they're also watching what kind of conviction you have, what convicts you, what motivates you, and what moves you. This morning, born-again believer, I say to you, what ought to move you more than anything ought to be the lost people that you run in contact with on each and every basis. Charles Spurgeon said, the most greatest distracted person that's ever been was Jesus Christ. The most distracted man ever lived was Jesus Christ. But he never got distracted about the Father's business. Said he'd be going through a crowd and he'd say, somebody touched me, I felt my virtue. He got distracted. Where's it at? But it was about his Father's business. When he was hanging on the cross, they was railing on him. If you be the king, come down. He got distracted. Remember me today when you enter your paradise. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The greatest man that ever walked this world got distracted, but never got distracted with the Father's business. Maybe this morning our love, we have concern, we have compassion, but do we have conviction this morning? I want to show you in the Word of God this morning, if you'll look with me, conviction for others, wanting them to be a friend of Jesus. Wanting them to be a friend of Jesus. And Jesus says this morning in verse number 14, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. In verse 17, he says, these things I command you that you love one another. So, preacher, what are you talking about this morning? As a church this morning, y'all know what I was, man, this world's in chaos. This world's in confusion. This world's a lot of things, and they're watching the church and what the church is going to do. And they want to see if you're concerned about the next man. They want to see if you have compassion. But more than that, they want to see what kind of conviction the church has. And let me give you this morning, 2 Peter 3:9. Turn with me there if you will, please. 2 Peter 3:9 this morning, I want to show you to have conviction for others. This is what Christ is right here. This is what he does. 2 Peter 3:9. Number one, we must have conviction to others that they find God's plan for their life. Preacher, I don't know what God's plan is for my life. Give it to you right here. 2 Peter 3:9, the Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Brother Logan, Sister Kayla, in the morning when y'all go in to have that baby, God's not slack. I just spoke that on you. Brother Joy, give me an amen right there. He agreed with me. He's not slack in the morning. He's not slack in the morning. He's concerned about y'all too. Brother Hayden and Kinsey, he's concerned about you and your baby. He has compassion. And he's going to show up. Look what he says here. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Any promise he's given you in the Word of God, you can take it to the bank. Amen? Look what he says. The Lord's not slack concerning his promise. As some men count slackness. Man, if the world tell you God's behind, he's not on time. If he had been on time, there's a lot of things would have changed. COVID wouldn't have come. Hey, he's right on time. Amen? Well, I hope you believe that. He's right on time. He's conquered everything. There's not one thing in your life, if you give your life to Him, that He's not concerned about, that He don't have compassion about, and that He's not conquered in your life when you give it to Him. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He said that's what it is right there, that we all come to repentance, that we all come to that place in our life where we have that conviction and we give our life to Christ. He said, number one, we find God's plan for their life. But number two, they follow God's plan for their life. That they follow that plan that God's laid out before them in their life. Number three, let me give you this. That they finish God's plan that He has for your life. He is so, man, please, don't let my ignorance get in the way here. I want to explain this just as easy as I can. He wants you to love like others because He has a plan for you. And He wants you to find that plan, that salvation. And He's wanting to love you. He's concerned. He shows you compassion all the way through. That when you find that, man, and He saves you, and man, you're walking the way you, man, it's just good. It's just good. He wants you to find that, and He wants you to follow it. But finding it and following it's useless if you don't finish it. If you don't finish it. Apostle Paul said, I have finished my course. I fought the good fight. I finished my race. Henceforth there laid up for me a crown of righteousness that the righteous judge Himself shall give. Not only to me, but to all that loves His appearing. Folks, this morning you've got a plan in your life God's laid out before you. I pray this morning you found it. I pray you're following it, but I pray that you finish it. This morning, if you'll turn with me in closing to Romans chapter number 5, we're going to look at verse number 6 this morning. Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 6 this morning. Romans 5 and verse number 6. It said, love like Christ. Romans 5, 6, but love like Christ. Here's what he said. For when we were without strength, we needed somebody that was concerned about us, somebody that would show us compassion, and somebody that had a conviction for us in our life. For when we were without strength in due time, that means at the right time, dead on the money, hit the bullseye, hole in one, sweet spot, he found it, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. I want to share you this in closing about a man in my life that had a deep concern for me when I was lost, had a deep compassion for me when I was lost. But over all of that, he had a deep conviction for me. His name was Steve Spurl. He lived in the town that we live in over there at Detroit. I'll never forget the time that we'd talk and we'd talk and we'd talk and we'd talk. And finally, one day, I gave my life to the Lord. And as I gave my life to the Lord and I got born again, man, I still felt and I treated myself unworthy. I was so unworthy. Never let nobody make you feel that you're unworthy of God's love. I felt unworthy. I still, even though I was washed, I felt unworthy. I felt like I didn't deserve nothing that He would allow me to partake of. And I'll never forget one day he come around and he had a brown bag. We was in church now, amen? He had a brown bag and it was full of stuff. And I was like, what has he got in that bag? And he's going around and they'd change the locks on the door. He'd reach down in that bag and he'd give this church member one a key to the door. He'd give that church member one a key to the door. He'd give that church member one a key to the door. He'd give that church member one and he'd come to me and he pulled that key out and he went to give it to me and I said, whoa, wait a minute, you don't want me to have that. You don't, man, you don't want me to have that. You don't want me to have access to this place. You know what he told me? He looked me square in the eye. And you know when you get serious with a man, you look him straight in the eye, Brother Hagin. If a man's lying to you, he won't look you in the eye. But when a man's telling you the truth, he'll look you in the eye and won't bat eye. He says, son, I'm not here to judge you. I'm just here to love you. That changed my life. To know that a deacon in a church, to know that an elder in the church, even though he knew the life that I lived, even though he knew my past, he knew my past. He didn't judge me for my past. He said, that's not my job. I'm not here to judge you. I'm just here to love you. Maybe this morning you've been living under condemnation and judgment for way too long as a child of God. And you need to be set free this morning. He said, preacher, there's some things I can't get over. Yeah, you can't, because it takes God to get you over it. But the Bible says who the Son sets free is free indeed. This morning, I want to say to you that God has compassion. He is concerned about you. And as a child of God this morning, He will not leave you alone. When you signed up, He won't leave you alone, because He has a conviction about you. He wants you to follow that plan He's laid out for your life this morning. This morning, I want you to listen to me this very clearly before we give a song of invitation. This morning, if you've never been born again, never washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, never experienced salvation, don't know what it is to be born again, this morning you can come to this old-timey altar. If you're on the conviction of the Holy Ghost this morning, you can bow down in this altar. I'd bow down with a man of God this morning. I'd bow down with somebody to show me how to be saved. Show me what the Word says. The Bible says that if you'll confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Lord God, I know I'm a sinner. I confess that I'm a sinner. And Lord God, I believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross for my sins, and I believe He arose again on the third day. I ask you to come into my life. Not only do I admit I'm a sinner, not only do I believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, but give me the unction. Give me the ability to confess it to every individual that I come in contact with. Lord God, save my soul in Jesus' name. This morning, if you're living under something, and it's not the love of Christ, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, to come to this altar and get your life right with God. If you're born again this morning, the Spirit stir it up now. If you're born again this morning and you know that you're saved, but on that road that you walk down, somebody's watching you. Daddy, somebody's watching you. Mama, somebody's watching you on this life that we're walking. And whoever's watching you, would it lead them to Jesus this morning? Or would it lead them the other way? He's concerned about you. He has compassion. And He has conviction this morning. And that's what the Holy Ghost does in your life. It pulls you to Him this morning. Our Father and our God, as we bow in Your presence, Lord, I have no idea who that You're talking to this morning. Lord, I have no idea this morning who has walked into this place this morning and they are bound for a devil's hell. But Father God, a relationship with You, a move to You this morning, no longer be bound to hell, but be bound to heaven. No longer be bound with shackles, but be bound with salvation. Lord, I pray this morning for that one that feels like nobody's concerned about nothing going on in their life. Everybody just blows them off. They know this altar's open this morning. The one this morning that hasn't felt no compassion in years, they come to an old-timey altar and do business with You. And Lord God, that one this morning that's under conviction, that knows if they walk back out the way they walked in, they'll still be the same. Lord, whoever that is this morning, I would ask You to stir that heart and allow them to know that You're standing here with arms wide open. Church is not here to judge. The church is here to love and to show Your compassion. Father, I love You, and Father, I do thank You for Your word this morning, that we can love like You. I ask all this in Jesus Christ's most holy, precious name. Amen. I ask you to stand this morning. Maybe this morning you need to be touched by God this morning. Maybe this morning you've come to this place lost and you need to be saved. Maybe you come to this place this morning and you just need to rededicate your life to the Lord. You've done come to that place where you just need hope, you need peace, you need rest. Hardly a comfort can afford. striving within. You know the strife's on the inside. Won't be long, it'll be on the outside. You strive on the inside, it won't be long, the strife will come on the outside. You battle with it on the inside, won't be long, everybody will see the battle on the outside. Hang on one second. Conviction for others. You know what that is? That's when you get an old-timey altar and you pray for the lost. You pray for that one that's lost and sin sick, and you know who that individual is, and God presses that on your heart. My wife's been listening to a song. Thank God for the preacher that prayed for the preacher that prayed for me. This morning, you may have a prayer this morning that you need to lead up. Say, Lord God, this individual, you know who it is. Touch that life. What about if nobody ever prayed for you? Folks, we're in a mess as a world. I go even more than a country, more than community. We're in a mess as a church. I believe that when church gets under Holy Ghost conviction for people, a Holy Ghost desire this morning of conviction, that things will change and things will move. But until the church moves, we will not see a movement. As we sing.